faithfulness, and I appreciate each one of you being here tonight, and I pray that you didn't come in vain, and I mean that. I've been working on something, and all week it just been on my mind, and I want to talk to you or preach tonight on the subject of prayer, and we'll take a look at it from James chapter number 5. If you want to find your place there, we'll look at James chapter number 5. I think I got on it. I don't think he was there. He ended up getting there. He ended up preaching everything that I talked about, I think. But anyhow, the thing with Elijah, we got on that barrel with Elijah. And I was reminded of the power of Elijah. Now, many of us look at Elijah, and many of the Jews look at Elijah, and they put him on a pedestal, and rightly so. I mean, as far as a patriarch of the faith, and as far as one that we can look back to in the Old Testament, but the real power that Elijah had was in prayer. How many of y'all recognize that? All right. The real power that Elijah had was in prayer. James points us out in chapter number 5, and we can get over there real quickly. I'll have to find it. I've done been moving around all over the place in my stuff tonight. But anyhow, in James chapter number 5, I'll begin reading in verse number 13. It says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Check out this verse. I really wanted to just kind of like sit down on this verse. We're not going to, so y'all can all just relax, all right? You can relax. It says, "Confess your faults one to another." Let me ask you something. When was the last time that you remember somebody confessing their faults one to another? I mean, if you hear me preach, and I ain't backing down from it still, I don't have to go confess my sins to no man in a skirt. I need somebody to help me. I can go straight to God. I have access. The veil was rent. I have access to God. Right? So is this talking about confessing our sins or confessing our faults? There's a difference. I looked at this and I studied it, and I ain't going to preach it, so y'all just relax, but we may. I mean, ain't no telling what God will do. But confessing your faults to one another in this context and the study of this literally means to do so not on a private basis, but in corporate services, as a congregation, to stand up and confess your faults one to another. It's not to go into detail about your sins. It's something like standing up and saying, "Pray for me that I'll have victory over my besetting sin." It's not getting into detail about your sin. We like to tell everybody, "Man, I was a drunk and I used to drink." And I'll give my testimony and I'll go right into some of the bad things that I did. But this is not what it's talking about. We're not glorifying sin in this matter. What we're doing is we're coming together in agreement to pray for somebody that's struggling with something. We don't have to know what that is, but they have a desire to be released from it. They have a desire to be healed from it. And so they confess it before the church that the church might pray one for another that you may be healed. See, here's a desire to no longer be held in bondage by sin. And it's such a desire to no longer be under the bondage of that sin that we're willing to stand up and say, I need your prayer. When was the last time you've seen a service like that? Do you know that all revivals going back 250 years, all true revivals, you know what they began with? Confession, not just prayer, but confession. People started having a desire in their prayer life, but it poured over into the congregation that these people really wanted to be delivered from what was besetting them. And true revival, come on now, help me y'all. Is true revival just praying, or true revival getting back in a right relationship with God? So when was the last time we confessed our faults? And the purpose of confessing them faults is that we would pray for one another. We live in a society now where you confess your faults and everybody makes fun of you. You confess your faults and everybody gossips about it. And I mean, we can say that there's no gossip in the church, but I can tell you this, the worst sin I've ever seen among preachers is gossip. I ain't talking about the church, I'm talking about amongst preachers. And if it's amongst preachers, help me. Probably in the church. But we're to confess those faults that we can pray for one another. Why? That you may be healed. Are y'all getting this? It may even be that some of our ailments are caused by unconfessed sin. A lot of my counseling, the first thing I start off with is unconfessed sin. Because if we don't get that cleared out, I need somebody to help me. Then there's no point in going any farther. If you're not willing to get clean, then why bother me? And so this has even a thought of we need to overcome these things and we need to have prayer agree together. Oh, I need somebody to help me. If we agreed together to pray for one another concerning a fault, that it might be healed. Then he goes into this. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In other words, there's great value to the diligent prayer of a righteous man. A man that's saved. A man that loves the Lord. A man that's trying to live right. Then he gives us an example. Verse number 17 and 18. He says, Elias, that's Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. You know what that verse, you know what that literally means? Anybody? He was a sinner, yes. It means he was just like us. We put him on a pedestal, I said earlier. But James brings him right back down. And says, hey, wait a minute. There was nothing special about Elijah. He was just like you. That's right. He said he was just like you. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. I need somebody to help me. The most accurate weatherman ever. Nobody could ever compare. And the Bible says, look what happens. Say it with me. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. That ain't all that happened. He prayed in between this and fire fell down from heaven. Amen. 61 word prayer. I need everybody to hear me right here. A 61 word prayer brought fire from heaven. And some of you can't pray for your food in 61 words. I thought some of y'all might need to hear that, all right? A 61-word prayer brings fire from heaven. He prays again, and before the fire fell from heaven, he prayed and God resurrected a child. He had no precedent for that. The widow lost her son. There's not, you realize that's the first resurrection that happened in the Bible? And how did it happen? He stretched himself out three times and prayed. I mean, Elijah, the Bible says, James says, he wasn't no different than you. And he prayed and it quit rain, or it stopped any rain. He prayed and a child was resurrected. He prayed and fire fell down from heaven. He prayed and rain came back. Amen. He was a man of prayer. The Bible says this, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one converting, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. The power of prayer. As we look at this tonight, I want to say this, and the Lord just gave me this while I'm up here, so I'm kind of running on something a little different than what I had prepared. But we treat God as if he is an ATM. Amen. We ask God for things, and we ask him of things amiss. In other words, in James chapter number 4, since we're right here, I'm going back to this verse. In verse number 2, it says, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lust. He's saying you're not getting your prayers answered because the truth of the matter is that what you're really praying for is your own lust, your own wants, right? I need somebody to help me. And where do we get that from? Well, this is what the Lord gave me while I was up here, Psalm 37:3-4. It says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now listen to this verse number 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. We've heard that verse, we've read that verse, and we think that as long as we love the Lord, he's going to give us what we want. But that's not what that verse means. It says, delight yourself in the Lord and in the things of God, right? If we were to delight ourselves in the Lord and in the things of God, then we would share his heart. And if we shared his heart, then he will give us the desires of our heart. I need somebody to help me. Amen. Have I lost y'all? How many times have you prayed for something that was God's will? Not your will. Not God, I need a new car. Not God, I need a new job. Not God, I need a new this. Or not, I need a new that. Or God, I need you to fix this. Or I need you to fix that. But when was the last time that your desires lined up with his desires? See, that's what prayer is. God, in verses in the Bible, God says that he's answered our prayers before we've even asked. So why don't we have the answer to our prayers? Because we didn't ask. Because we're consumed by our own lust. And we spend so much time begging God to fulfill our lust and to give us what we want. Amen. That we fail to have the heart that God has. I need somebody. Y'all got to help me here. A perfect example of this, of praying as God would want, was Jesus. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, hey, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But if not, right? He said, hey, not my will, but thine be done. Now stay with me. I'm trying to make a point right here. Because we've asked amiss so much, because we've asked about things that really are just desires of our own lust or desire or our wants, we have not experienced answered prayer. And because we have not experienced answered prayer, we neglect to pray. We pray, but we don't pray in faith. Because God hadn't answered this prayer for us, but to be honest about it, the prayer that we're praying from God is not His will. It's our will. And it's not being answered, but we're praying because we just need to strike the lottery one time. And I don't mean that in terms of the lottery. I mean, all we need, we keep praying and praying and praying and praying, and sooner or later, maybe it'll happen. Right? But that's not how God said that He would give us the desires of our heart as long as our heart is lining up with His desires. So I asked the question, when was the last time that you or I have prayed in His will for what He desires? I've been doing in my devotions this we've been in prayer. The first day we were talking about praying for our community. Second day we was talking about praying for your pastor. Today we were talking about praying for laborers. Do you realize that was a prayer request from Jesus? I mean, Jesus prayed. I need somebody to help me. It was important. Wow. Does that not seem odd to you? That Jesus would pray? The same one that spoke and it was, is now praying to the Father? The same one that says, "It is I," and they fell back on the ground? The same one that says, "Peace be still," and it come? The same one that says, "Lazarus, come forth," and he came out of the grave? Amen. The same one that healed at the touch of his hand? The same one that said, "Receive your sight"? The same one that touched, he didn't even touch a leper and he was healed. He healed a girl and wasn't there. Is everybody with me? He cast out demons. You name it. And yet, He teaches us to pray. What do you think is the most neglected thing in the church? Are you just saying that because I'm preaching the subject of prayer? Or do you really believe that? Yeah. Prayer. We come in and we put such an emphasis on worship. But true worship has to involve prayer. Amen. I need somebody to help me. As I looked at it, let me see what I wrote down. Is everybody all right? The lack of prayer in our churches today is due to a lack of faith in its power. I've already said this, but we have asked amiss in prayer so often that our prayers never seem to be answered. And so we lose faith in God's power to answer prayers. And since prayers go unanswered, it seems more like a waste of time than something that we should practice. I asked two questions. How's your prayer life? Now, before y'all go to saying, I got a great one. Yeah, I want you to think about what everything we've said tonight. I ain't talking about give us this day our daily food stuff. I ain't talking about God give me this or God give me that. I'm talking about how is your prayer life? How many things are you asking of amiss? I need somebody to help me. Now the Bible says, we get back into James chapter number 5, and we talk about this prayer, and we talk about the prayer healing people, but does prayer heal everybody? Help me. No. But I need somebody to hear me right here. Is everybody all right? Y'all ain't going to like this. But for the Christian, I told this to Nathan today, for the Christian, death heals everyone. Oh, I need somebody to help me. See, it's the mercy of God that you and I don't have to live here forever. I need somebody to help me right now. I'm already, some of you young people are like, I want to live forever. But some of us are like, Lord, you can take me on right now if it'll just stop hurting, right? Because death is a healing. And sometimes, I need somebody to hear me right here. Sometimes death is the answer to prayer. Amen. It's just not what you want.
Oh, y'all.
Now, can God heal? Absolutely. He is a great physician. He can heal. But to say he doesn't heal because somebody passes, there's a stretch. Is everybody with me? See, we struggle with our prayer life because we ask amiss. We ask of our own lusts. We don't want them to go through death. I'm just giving an example, one example we're all familiar with. Everybody's in here has prayed for somebody that was on their dying bed. And more than likely, you had to stand there next to a graveside as they were lowered into it. But our mind tells us God didn't heal them. But I'm trying to show you that God did. Does your prayer life need to improve? Oh, yeah. I could stop right now, but I'm not. I could, but I'm not. Because I want you to see, I told you Jesus prayed. And in Jesus' prayer life, I want you to see a few things. First off, I want you to see the purpose of prayer. In Jesus' prayer life, Jesus said, and I've already shared this, but in Luke chapter number 22 and verse number 42, he's saying, this is Jesus speaking, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Jesus shows us the purpose of prayer. It's not to get what we want. That's right. It's that God's will would be done.
That's right.
Preacher, that ain't fair. How is it not fair?
Right.
You got eternal life. What more could God give you that would make it fair? So our mindset in prayer ought to be to the purpose of prayer. What's the purpose of prayer? God's will. Let's talk about it just for a few moments. What do you think God's will is in prayer? Somebody help me. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish." You know what I'm saying? Let me ask you this. When was the last time you spent your prayer time praying for the lost people? Jesus prayed for his disciples. The Bible says that he went into a mountaintop and prayed. The Bible tells us he came down from the mountaintop and he chose his 12 disciples, Brother Johnny, after he'd prayed. Is everybody all right? I think God's will, God has a will for the people in your life. When was the last time you prayed? "God, of the people that are in my life, who needs to be here and who doesn't?" Oh, I need somebody to help me. Say, but he had Judas. He loved Judas. Judas had a purpose. And he shows us how to love somebody even when they would betray us. He taught us to pray. He told Simon Peter, he said, "Satan hath desired to have you, to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you." That's what Jesus told Simon Peter. The purpose of prayer is God's will. When was the last time you prayed in God's will? "People be saved. The brethren be strengthened." This is what he told Simon Peter. "When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren."
Yep.
He prayed when he chose his friends. When was the last time? When was the last time a decision that you made? Whether it be a job, whether it be a car, whether it be a house, whether it be a dog. I just threw that in there because I have a problem with that. Sometimes I don't always. I probably shouldn't have as many. But whatever, when was the last time you prayed about it? God, is this your will for my life? God, is this your will for my family? This is a good job opportunity. I'm going to get $2 more an hour. Is this your will for my life? Don't say, oh, it must be God's will for my life because I'm going to make more money doing it. Yeah. Y'all, I probably won't articulate this in words as good as it needs to be, but the truth is, most of our prayer life revolves around our own lusts and desires. You know how many people I've had come running up to me and say, man, God bless me with a new car. Only just 2 months later to be telling me how much of a burden a new car is on them. I'll never forget one time I had a couple that come into my office and they were struggling because they needed new tires and they couldn't afford new tires for their car. Stay with me. Is everybody with me? I hope they're watching on. They're not here, so y'all can quit looking around. I hope they're watching on Facebook Live, because this is what they did. They could not afford tires for their car, so they both went out and got brand new vehicles. They got their new tires. Is everybody all right? And here was the, here, hey, God blessed me with a car. No, you cursed yourself with your lust. The purpose of prayer is for God's will. When was the last time you prayed in God's will? The promise of prayer. You know, we have some promises when it comes to prayer. Matthew chapter number 21, verse number 22. This is Jesus speaking, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. Now, knowing what we know, does that mean that our lust will be fulfilled? No. But if you and I pray in God's will, believing, the Bible says that they'll be answered. That's a pretty good promise. I need somebody to help me. John chapter number 15, verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, this is Jesus speaking again, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. What a promise of prayer. That doesn't mean you get to ask for your lust and your desires. Does everybody get where I'm going with this? God will answer our prayers as long as our prayers align with God's will. See, I'm not just trying to get you to pray. I'm trying to get you to understand prayer. Prayer is unlocking God's will in your life. God has it there and wants to give it to you. But your problem is you don't want what God wants for you. You want what you want. And until you learn to let go of what you want and desiring what God wants to give you, you're not going to experience a great prayer life. Is everybody all right? Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain. Let's think about it. 3.5 years, no rain. Sat by a brook, it dries up. Goes and be taken care of by the widow woman. I don't think Elijah set out on that first prayer and said, boy, this is going to benefit me a lot. That's right?
Amen.
He was praying for the will of the Father. When he prayed for fire to come down, does anybody remember any of that prayer? It was only 61 words. Does anybody remember it? Huh? What did he say? Does anybody remember what he said? Come on, don't all speak at once. I know you read the Bible 100 times. You have read this a bunch. Think about it. Think about it. Why did he ask God to do this? That they might, who, say it?
Know
who God is. It wasn't so they'd throw a parade for Elijah. His prayer was that God would answer this prayer so that the people would know God, not him.
Amen.
Oh, my. His prayer over that little child was not so that he could go around on a healing campaign, put up a tent everywhere and tell everybody he could heal folks.
That's right. Come on.
Elijah's prayers were powerful because his prayers wasn't centered on him. Purpose of prayer, the promise of prayer, the power of prayer. Have you ever thought about this? The disciples, they're having a trouble. There's this child that has come and that is possessed by a demon and they can't cast the demons out. Amen. The Bible tells us they had the power to do so. They went out and they went out casting out demons and doing all kind of things, raising the dead, sick, whatever. I mean, they had all kind of power, but yet there was one that they could not deliver. Does anybody remember what Jesus told them? This one comes out, right? It says in Mark, it says, and he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Mark chapter 9, verse number 29. Jesus said that there's more power. Are y'all catching that? Let me go over here and say it on this side. They had the power. God gave them the power to cast out demons, but yet there was this one. And Jesus said this kind cometh forth but by prayer and fasting. In other words, this is what Jesus is saying. You have power, but there's more available.
Amen.
Did y'all catch that? I'm going to go over and say it on this side because it was good to me when I seen it. They had the power, but God said, there's more where that, by prayer, there's more available.
Amen.
The power that you have is limited unless you partner it with. Oh my. I mean, that's the power of prayer. It wasn't enough what he had given to them. He said, there's more power available, and it's through prayer and fasting. He says, I notice in Luke 22, verse number 40, the prevention of prayer. And the Bible says, this is when he came into Gethsemane, and the Bible says, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, this is the Garden of Gethsemane, right when they came to it, he says, pray that you enter not into temptation. When was the last time that your prayer started off in the morning? God, keep me from temptation. God, keep me from those besetting sins. God, keep me. I need somebody to help me. Instead of God, bless me today. Instead of God, make me prosperous today or make me successful today. When was the last time we prayed, God, keep me from that besetting sin? Keep me from fulfilling my lust and succumbing to that temptation.
Amen.
See, prayer has a power to prevent, but we would rather use it to try to get something. Oh.
Amen.
All of that leads us to the passiveness of prayer. In James 4:2, I've already read it. We pray and we ask for things, but we ask for them amiss. To fulfill the desires of our hearts. We ask God to do things that God never intended to do. And then we question God as to why he won't answer our prayers. James tells us that our prayers relieves the afflicted. Look here, it says, verse number 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Our prayer relieves the afflicted. That word afflicted right there means, are any of you suffering? 513, you're doing great. But he says, is any afflicted? Is there any of you that are suffering? I asked and during revival, I said, how many of you hanging on by a thread? Hands went up all over the building because there's things going on in your life that you're having to deal with, life comes at you quick. It doesn't care how you feel about it. It doesn't care if you're ready to take it on. It's there, and now you have to deal with it. And so when this question is asked, is any among you afflicted? I would imagine that a lot of the church could say, preacher, I'm struggling. So what are we to do? Let him pray. Let him pray. Your prayer relieves the afflicted. And number two, your prayer remedies the ailing. Keep on, if you will, the next verse, verse number 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. When was the last time that happened? And let them, what? Pray over him. Now, does that mean that the elders in the church has the power to heal somebody? No! Don't be dumb. I need somebody to help me. It says anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. I get it. But let me go ahead and help somebody out. God gives us doctors for a reason. I say amen. Amen. But where's power in prayer? But we must understand that coupling in that power of prayer, we have to accept God's cure, whether it's a coffin or whether it's them walking out. Everybody help me. We do more, you know, we pray for the sick, but we do more trying to keep people here than letting them go to heaven. I mean, listen, I'm not getting on to you. I think we ought to pray for the sick. The Bible says pray for the sick. I ain't got a problem with that. But we shouldn't be praying for the sick more than we're praying for the lost. If they're saved, hallelujah. Listen to me. You know why Jesus wept? Because he was bringing him back. Jesus wasn't upset that he died. I need somebody to help me. He might have wept in some form or way for the suffering that Mary and Martha was going through, but the fact of the matter is he was bringing Lazarus back into this sinful world. When was the last time your prayers spent more time praying for the lost than you did praying for the sick? I ain't saying don't pray for the sick. Bible tells us to pray for the sick. I'm preaching it. Right here. It is a remedy for the ailing. I believe it with all my heart. I believe we ought to pray. That's why I told you to pray for Jackson's wife, Wendy. I tell you to pray for Brother Mark. I tell you to pray for others. Pray for them. Brother Mark saved. Miss Wendy saved. I need somebody to help me. How many people are you going to come in contact tomorrow with that aren't? And death for them ain't a cure. Death for them is the beginning of their nightmare. Death for them is an eternity in hell. Prayer, it relieves the afflicted. It remedies the ailing. It restores the abased. The Bible tells us, later in this verse, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. It restores those that are abased. I couldn't come up with a good eighth. I mean, y'all just have to deal with it, all right. But many of us, myself included, struggle with things. Oh, is everybody all right? Y'all know one of my greatest sins is bitterness. I have to fight that junk all the time. It comes up in my life over and over again. It comes up in your life over and over again too. You just ain't identified it yet. Amen. I can probably sit with you for about an hour and find out what you're bitter about. So we stand and we confess our faults to one another. When was the last time you prayed for me? You know my fault. I don't know yours because you ain't confessed it to us. When was the last time you prayed for mine? I said pray for your pastor. I would hide from that because that's what most people, hey, you asking for something. When was the last time? I'm confessing my faults. What? Would you pray that I'd have victory over that? Instead of saying, my preacher's battling bitterness all the time. It's at you. That would make fun of me of that. Your prayer restores. Your prayer. Did you notice I said your prayer? Your prayer relieves the afflicted. Preacher, I ain't got no power in my prayer. The Bible says that you're no different than Elijah. Elijah was no different than you. And if his prayers could do what we read about, yours can too. So your prayer relieves the afflicted. Your prayer remedies the ailing. Your prayer restores the abased. Your prayer releases those that have been arrested. I got this one from Acts chapter number 12. Remember when they put Simon Peter in jail? The Bible says the church prayed. The church prayed without ceasing. That's what it says. The church prayed without ceasing. And on the night before he was to be beheaded, God sent an angel and released him from his imprisonment. I need somebody to hear me. I'm going to put that on a spiritual level. There's some people in here that are in bondage. And your prayer has the power to release them. Confess your faults one to another. And pray one for another that you may be healed. We have the power of God at our fingertips, and we use it for our own desires and our own lusts. We try. God said, whatsoever things you ask in my name shall be given to you. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. If you delight yourself in him, you're going to share. David was a man after God's own heart because David wanted what God wanted. He failed, as all of us do.
That's right.
But yet his heart was God's desire for Israel. What is it? How does your prayer life? This is our application question and the end, Brother Matt. How does your prayer life need to change? How does this church's prayer practices need to change? We are never going to be effective at reaching our community if we won't even pray for them to be saved.
Amen.
We're never going to see God answer prayers in the church if it's all about us praying for what we want. Adam did what he wanted. Adam chose his will over God's and set a precedent for us. It set a precedent. That's what we do. We are no different than Adam, our father. We pray, not your will, God, but mine be done. Jesus, the second Adam, he come and he really showed us how prayer works. When he said, not my will, but thine be done. Tonight, join me around the altar in prayer. May the sermon affect our prayer life. May we apply what we've learned tonight and see prayers answered. God said, before you pray, I've answered. He's waiting. The answer is there. Waiting to be unlocked by our prayer. Not for our desire, but for His. Not for our lust, but for His will. Lord, as we come to you tonight, Lord, I pray that, Lord, our prayers would be answered. Lord, I pray that this church would see answered prayers and the power of prayer. Not something to be desired to fulfill our lust and our desires, but God, that we might use prayer as it was intended, that your will be done. Lord, we might look beyond our selfishness. And say, God, what do you desire? Lord, we know that your will is for the lost to be saved. God, may our prayer be. Lord, we know that you would have us to be filled with the Spirit. May our prayer be as such. God, we know that you would have us to be free from sin. May our prayer display that. God, may we pray that we enter not into temptation. May we pray, Lord, that we not succumb to those besetting sins. God, may we pray for one another. Pray for our pastor. Pray for the leaders in our church. Pray for the laborers. Pray for laborers for the harvest. God, may we see tonight our prayer. Lord, may we decipher. Lord, if our prayers are asked amiss, our God, do we seek your desire, your will? God, I pray, Lord, you continue to work on me. May I not be selfish in my prayers, treating you as an ATM. But God, may my prayers be after your heart, your desire, your will. God, I pray you answer them. Lord, I thank you for my church. Lord, I know it's a church of prayer. But God, may we be refocused. Lord, may our hearts be turned to you. May your will be done in this place. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for the choir. Thank you for everybody, Lord, that was faithful to your house tonight. May we leave out of here better than we came. Equipped, Lord, to pray in a manner that would bring, Lord, honor and glory to you. That would see our prayers answered. Lord, I love you tonight. I thank you for loving us. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Should have brought it out. I should have pointed it out. I should have spent some time on it. The Bible says that effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Every one of us in here can fit the parameters of a righteous man by going to God in agreement and confessing our sins. If you're in here tonight, Maybe you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. I want to give you an opportunity before we leave, because I have prayed that God would save people in our community. I pray to God to save people in this church that's lost. For a Christian, death is mercy. For a Christian, death is a cure. For somebody that's lost sitting in this building tonight, death is eternal damnation. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I wonder if you just raise your hand up and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me." Is there anybody like that? Lord, thank you once again, Lord, for tonight. Thank you for this place. Thank you for the people of this place. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we'd see power in our prayer, answers to our prayer, because our prayers are lined up with your will. Lord, we'll be sure to give you all the honor and glory for it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.